भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय शुश्रूषोशब्दधानस्य वासुदेवकतारुचिः श्यान्महत्सेवया विप्राः पुण्यतीर्थनिषेवनात्. ओ ट्वाइस बॉर्न सेजेस, बाय सर्विंग दोज डिवोटीज हु आर कंप्लीटली फ्रीड फ्रॉम ऑल वाइस, ग्रेट सर्विस इज डन. बाय सच सर्विस वन गेन्स एफिनिटी फॉर हियरिंग द मैसेजेस ऑफ वासुदेव. शृण्वताम् स्वकथाः कृष्णः पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तनः हृदयन्तस्तो ह्यभद्राणि विदुनोति सुहृत्सताम्. श्री कृष्णा, द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड हु इज द परमात्मा सुपर सोल इन एवरी वन्स हार्ट एंड द बेनिफैक्टर ऑफ द ट्रूथफुल डिवोटी, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Nashta prayeshva bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी. बाय रेगुलर अटेंडेंस इन क्लासेस ऑन द भागवतम एंड बाय रेंडरिंग ऑफ सर्विस टू द प्योर डिवोटी, ऑल दैट इज ट्रबलसम टू द हार्ट इज ऑलमोस्ट कंप्लीटली डिस्ट्रॉयड. एंड लविंग सर्विस अनटू द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड हु इज प्रेस्ड विद ट्रांसेंडेंटल सॉन्ग्स इज एस्टैब्लिश्ड एज एन इरिवोकेबल फैक्ट. तदा रजस्तमो भावाः कामलोबादयश्च ये चेत एतैर् अनाविद्धं सितं सत्वे प्रसीदति. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy.
Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogatah bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate.
Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association.
Vidyate hridaya grantesh chidyante sarva samshayah क्षीयन्ते चास्य कर्माणि दृष्ट एवात्मनीश्वरे.
Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master.
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yasoda Nandana Vrajajandaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya. Jaya Om Vishnu Padma Vamsa Raja Kacharya Sada Sisi with AC Bhakta Padana Sangha Prabhupada Ki Jaya Namachar Hari Das Thakur Ki Jaya Paramahansa Guru Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siddhadeva Gadadhar Sri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Govinda Shyama Kunda Radha Kuddi Giri Govardhan Ki Jaya Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jaya Navadev Dham Ki Jaya Ganga Jamuna Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jaya Ananda Kodi Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jaya Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya Go Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswata Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasachadesha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam 11, chapter 2, verse 15. Priyavrato namasuto mano svayambhuvasya tasya agnidras tato nabhir orishabhasta sutasmrtaha.
Yeah.
Priyavrata, Maharaj Priyavrata, Nama, by name, Sutta, son, Mano Swayam Bhuvasya, Swayam Bhuvamano, Ya, who, Tasya, his, Agnidra, Agnidra, Tata, from him, Nabi, King Nabi, Rishabha, Lord Rishabha, Tata, Tatsuta, his son, Smrita, his soul remembered. Translation, Swayam Bhuvamano had a son named Maharaj Priyavrata, and among Priyavrata's sons was Agnidra. From Agnidra was born Nabi, whose son was known as Rishabhadev. Purport, the genealogy background of the sons of Rishabhadev is given in this verse. Sri Rishabhadev is accepted as an expansion of the Supreme Lord, Vasudev. He incarnated in this world to propagate those religious principles that lead living entities to ultimate liberation. He had 100 sons, all perfect in Vedic knowledge. Of the 100 sons of Rishabhadev, the eldest, Bharat, was completely devoted to Lord Narayana. It is because of Bharat's fame that this planet is now celebrated as the great Bharat Varsha. King Bharata rejected the material world, considering all types of material pleasure temporary and useless. Leaving his beautiful young wife and family, he worships Lord Hari by severe austerities and attained the abode of the Lord after 3 lifetimes. Purport, the complete narration of the 3 lives of Bharat as a king, as a deer, and as an exalted Paramahamsa devotee of the Lord is given in the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. 9 of the remaining sons of Rishabhadev became rulers of the 9 islands of Bharatvarsha, and they exercised complete sovereignty over this planet. 81 sons became twice-born brahmanas and helped initiate the Vedic path of fruit of sacrifices, karma kunda. Purport, the 9 dvipas or islands ruled by 9 sons of Rishabhadev are the 9 varshas of Jambudvip, namely Bharata, Kinara, Hari, Kuru, Hiranmaya, Ramyaka, Ilavrita, Bhadrasva, and Ketumala. The 9 remaining sons of Rishabhadev were greatly fortunate sages who worked vigorously to spread knowledge of the Absolute Truth. They wandered about naked and were very well versed in spiritual science. Their names were Kavi, Havir, Antariksha, Prabuddha, Pippalayana, Avirhotra, Drumula, Chamasa, and Karabhajana. Purport, Nimi, the king of Videha, asked the following 9 questions of the 9 Yogendras, the saintly sons of Rishabhadev. What is the highest good? What are the religious principles, natural proclivities, behavior, speech, and outward symptoms of a Bhagavata, a Vaishnava devotee of the Lord? What is the external energy of Vishnu, the Supreme Lord? How can one become dissociated from this Maya? What is the true identity of Brahman? What are the 3 types of karma, namely karma based on enjoyment of fruit of work, karma offered to the Supreme Lord, and Naishkarmya? What are the various pastimes of the various incarnations of God? What is the aim of, or destination of one who is against the Supreme Lord and devoid of bhakti, in other words, a non-devotee? And what are the respective colors, forms, and names of the 4 Yuga avatars, the 4 incarnations of the Supreme Lord who appear in the 4 ages, and what is the process of worshipping each of them? The transcendental answers to these inquiries were given by the great devotees Kavi, Havir, Antariksha, Prabuddha, Pippalayana, Avirhotra, Drumula, Chamasa, and Karabhajana. These 9 Paramahamsas answered the 9 questions, each in turn, in the following verses, 233, 34, 245, 55, 3 to 16, chapter 3, 18 to 33, chapter 3, 35 to 40, chapter 3, 43 to 55, chapter 4, 2 to 23, chapter 5, 2 to 18, and chapter 5, 20 to 42. So here we have a genealogy given to introduce the topic. Maharaj Nimi meets the nine yogindras. So who are the nine yogindras? So here is described that coming from Swayambhuva Manu, then we have Priyavrata, and then a whole genealogy is discussed here. Agnidra, and then Nabi, and then Rishabha. And then Rishabha became, of course, he was known as Paramahamsa. So he renounced the world completely, even though he was a king. And he had 100 sons. And these 100 sons were various in their talents. So nine ruled the nine different dvipas. The others some of them became Karmakanda Brahmanas, and the others, the nine remaining ones, became great Paramahamsa sages. These are the Navayogendras. So therefore, from this line of starting from Manu and then coming to Rishabhadev, though they were kings, we find that we get sages manifesting in the form of the Navayogendras, as well as rulers of the earth in the form of the other kings. So therefore, there were a variety of sons who were produced from Rishabhadev, who was considered to be an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, who taught renunciation. So King Nimi asks these nine sages questions. And each one of those sages answers one of those questions as recorded here. So these are all very important questions for clarifying the meaning of the Vedic literature. And of course they're somewhat similar to the questions that the sages of Naimisharanya also ask. So they ask what's the highest good and etc. like this. So some of them are of the same nature of what is the ultimate goal, and what are the dharmas of the jivas, achar, etc. What are the qualities of a devotee of the Lord? What is the external energy of the Lord? How to get out of Maya? What is Brahman? What are the types of karma? What are the pastimes of the Lord? What happens to people who don't worship the Lord? What are the colors of and activities of the different avatars of the different yugas, which is very famous. So in this way we get a lot of different questions asked, spanning over two or three chapters here, up into chapter 5. So these answers, of course, are important for us to study, because from this we get an understanding of a general understanding of the nature of the Vedic literatures and the ultimate goal of the Vedic literatures. So though all of these, the kings and the citizens in the Varnashram system accept the authority of the Vedas, the Vedas speak of different things. So we see that many of the sons of Rishabha became followers of karma, and they were teaching about how to engage in rituals and pious activities, etc. So there's a whole section of the Vedas called the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. And there's lots of prescriptions for doing sacrifices to attain heavenly planets. So of course, as devotees, we're not much interested in such things. So we sometimes wonder, what is the
why would anyone be attracted to these things? But actually, most of the people of this world are materialistic, and they want to enjoy in the material world. So, the Karmakanda encourages them to follow some regulation to get their desire fulfilled and get that enjoyment. So therefore they are regulated in how to enjoy in order to get more enjoyment out of this material world. So this is for the people of lower materialistic consciousness who also accept the authority of the Vedas. So they're a step above the people who are materialistic but reject the Vedas. So therefore they're on the lower category. But we'll find that this was, though we will reject it as being rather foolish, because Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita, it's all flowery words. There were a lot of ardent followers of this system in ancient India. They took this as their goal in life, more or less. And we have Jaimini's philosophy coming out of that. He was a very great scholar, and he formed a whole group and made a whole philosophy, the Karma Mimamsa philosophy, following after this Karmakanda section of the Vedas. So though we tend to reject it, it was actually quite popular among many, many people in ancient times. So it is part of the Vedas, but nevertheless, we do find other parts of the Vedas which are exactly the opposite. And they encourage us to renounce everything in the material world and get liberation or prema. So we got different goals in the Vedic literature. And one, we should not say they're all equal, and you can do any one and we get the same result. And two, if we are to accept that they're all goals, authorized goals of the Vedas, then we have to distinguish which is the supreme goal. And if we don't do that, then we'll be confused about what to do. So that's why the first question here is, what is the highest good? What is most beneficial for the human being? A very essential question. So is it to enjoy in Svargaloka? Is that the ultimate benefit for the human being? Is it to get impersonal liberation? Or is it to get prema? So this question must be answered, because this will determine what process we follow, what activities we do in life, how we operate within our life and conduct our life. So very important that that first question be answered. So though the Vedas do give these different goals, it is always understood that they are recommended to different people according to their qualification. And if the Vedas praise Karmakanda as the ultimate goal, we can't take that at literally. As Krishna also praises karma in the Bhagavad Gita and tells Arjuna it's the best process, we cannot take that literally, because Krishna himself contradicts that later on. So similarly, in the Karmakanda section, we'll find statements like going to Svargaloka is amrita, you become immortal. But then we find contrary statements. Krishna says you fall from there after your punyas are exhausted. So how can we have two different statements there? So we have to correlate these contradictions and come up with a conclusion. So yes, the Vedas say contrary things, even though they're perfect. But some statements are made in a relative way, not an absolute way. So in other words, the words are exaggeration. They say more than they actually mean in truth. So on the other hand, we do have absolute statements in the Vedas also. So for many people, it's difficult to distinguish. And they'll take the relative statements as absolute. So we have to understand which are the real absolute statements. That takes some study and some intelligence. So that is why we cannot just start reading the Vedas or reading any scripture. We have to study it through the eyes of someone who has wisdom. And that is why we have a parampara system of passing on knowledge, so we can understand the final conclusion of everything, not just a few statements here and there. So this was so for the Vedas. They were passed on in a parampara system, and the Vedas have both parts. They have the part for enjoyment in the material world. They also have the Gyanakanda for liberation from the material world. So the person has to understand what is the higher principle. So all of this is presented in the Vedas, and then the smritis like Mahabharata and Bhagavad Gita, and then the Puranas like Srimad Bhagavatam present the same message, but a little clearer and more understandable, available for more people, but essentially the same message. So therefore we'll find in the Bhagavatam and other literatures, we will get the process of karma explained also. As Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, he praises karma yoga and explains how you do karma yoga there. So that will be presented. And then jnana yoga, astanga yoga, and bhakti yoga will also be presented. So just like the Vedas themselves show all of the different paths and the different goals, so the Bhagavatam also does the same thing. But Bhagavata makes it very clear what is the final goal. So in the first canto, the sages of Naimisharanya, they ask the question, okay, what's the highest goal? And that gets answered in the very quickly there in the first and second cantos. And then we'll find here in the 11th canto, King Nimi asks the same question again, and he gets a direct answer also. So here in Bhagavatam, we'll find very direct answers to this question about which is the superior process or the supreme process. Of course, if we even read the first canto, then we'll understand that the whole work is dedicated to telling people, everyone in Kali Yuga, to worship Krishna in devotion. So it becomes very clear what is the intention of the Bhagavatam. So in other words, the Bhagavatam and all the Puranas are non-different from the Vedas. Therefore, they're presenting the same message, but the conclusion becomes clear. So the Puranas do this, and especially the Sattvic Puranas like Vishnu Purana, Padma Purana, and Bhagavat Purana, they will point us towards the process of bhakti. And the Bhagavatam's special quality is to point us not only towards bhakti, but towards Krishna as the recommended object of worship for everyone. So that's the outstanding feature of the Bhagavatam. So because of this special recommendation in the Bhagavatam to worship Krishna, we conclude that this is the final conclusion of everything. After concluding that bhakti is superior to karma yoga, jnana yoga, and astanga yoga, then within bhakti we conclude that worshipping Krishna is the highest. So this is what the Bhagavatam presents. So therefore it's the conclusion, the final conclusion of everything in the Vedic literature. So that is how our acharyas rationalize the selection of Bhagavatam as the main scripture, because it is, say, the essence of the essence. So that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself quotes largely from Bhagavatam in Chaitanya Charitamrita And then our acharyas have dedicated a lot of time to studying Bhagavatam and writing commentaries on it. And of course, we see Srila Prabhupada himself spent significant time making commentary on Bhagavatam. So before he went to America, he completed the first canto, and he took those volumes with him to America. That was his foundational work. So therefore, for the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhagavatam is the conclusion of everything. So we take this as our main object of study. So this gives us the answer to this first question: what is the ultimate good? So it is worship of the Lord and worship of Krishna, and finally attaining prema for Krishna. That's the highest good. But why is it good for the human being? It's because it gives the greatest satisfaction and happiness to the human being, the jiva. So therefore, the process of bhakti is the process to attain that position of Krishna prema. So this is the final conclusion of everything. And it's a very simple conclusion, but to get there, one has to deal with all of the other statements of the Vedic literature and even of the Bhagavatam to come to the final conclusion. So we take the, of course, the Bhagavatam itself is quite clear, but sometimes people get confused even by Bhagavatam. So therefore we have the commentaries of our acharyas, like Jiva Goswami and Vishnu Chakravarti, to clarify any confusion about the statements there. So, therefore, all the answers are given to these questions of the sages, by Nimi. And we understand them through the commentaries of our acharyas.
Ultimately, Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate literature that one gets benefit. There are a lot of mass who take to sincerely to the religious path or spiritual path. Still, they don't get access to Bhagavatam, or they don't accept Bhagavatam. Is it the Sukriti which allows someone to access Bhagavatam, or just depending on them, why they don't get the opportunity of Bhagavatam?
Well, it's a matter of faith. And if we talk about Sukriti, there we're not talking about just normal pious activities, but bhakti Sukritis. So it is through association with devotees that we develop devotion. And it's also association with certain devotees that we get certain type of devotion. So if we get the mercy of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, then we become Gaudiyas. If we get the mercy of Sri Vaishnavas, we become Sri Vaishnavas, whatever, like this. So according to our association, then we develop in a certain path of devotion also. So if we get the mercy of devotees following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we get more faith in Bhagavatam than in other works. So basically it's a matter of association.
The worship of Navayogandras is suggested instead of worshipping the Navagrahas. Is it only in Gaudiya Sampradaya or really?
Yeah. This is, comes in the, Satkriya Sardipika. So in there they substitute for the worship of Navagrahas and Pitras and stuff. They do substitutions. So they put the, Gopabhatta puts the nine Yogendras in place of the Navagrahas. Of course, another way we could do is we have the avatars, as we see here, instead of the nine planets also.
Well, anyone who has been fortunate to take up to the shelter of worship of Radha Krishna, why would they still look at, in the sense, Navayogendras?
What's that?
Ultimately Krishna, if they have taken shelter of Krishna.
Who?
someone who has come to Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and then they are already taking to the path of pure spiritual life towards Radha Krishna.
Yeah.
Why would they consider Navagraha in place of Nagaragraha, Navayogendras? Why would they?
Well, this is simply following the samskaras, the Vedic samskaras. So in there, then they have these preliminary rites in which they worship the Navagrahas and Ganesh and Pitras and Sutra, you know, and different types of worship they do before they do the sacrifice. So we don't want to do any of that. So if we want to do those samskaras, like a marriage samskar or a birth samskar, then we have to do something else. So then let's worship the Navayogendras instead of the Navagrahas or whatever like that. Or we could say the nine planetary avatars we could do also or whatever. So it's only in relation to those samskaras that are done. Because obviously if you're going to get married, what are you going to do? So you have some ceremony. So we take the Vedic ceremony there. But then we don't want to follow those worship of devatas.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So the different demigods, like Lord Shiva, Ganesh, Durga, they are all different energies of the Supreme Lord. So we are going to the different Vaishnavas to pray them to get their mercy or to get the Krishna Bhakti or Krishna Prema. So if we pray them, some devotees are praying to Ganesh or Durga to get Krishna Bhakti. Is there any wrong?
What's the question?
Some devotees worship demigods.
Yeah.
Is there any wrong?
Oh, is it right? Yeah, well, as long as we understand that the devatas are servants of the Lord or devotees of the Lord and they don't give independent benedictions, then it's okay. Of course, we don't want to ask them, even as servants, we don't ask them for material things. But if we ask them to help in our devotional service, fine, it's not a problem. But of course, usually the devotees get to more intimate servants of the Lord, like Radha or Sakis or Balaram or someone, instead of going out to devatas, they would go to closer associates of Krishna to get their mercy, because they're more closely associated with Krishna. So we see statements like, you know, even Lakshmi cannot get the mercy of, you know, Krishna, and she cannot approach the lotus feet of Radha, etc., whereas the devotees can. So therefore the associates of Krishna and Vrindavan are the more likely candidates to pray to for mercy than the devatas, who are more, let's say, in Vaidhi mood, rather than raga.
Well, this Vyasadeva we see in the first canto, fifth chapter, where Narada comes in contact with Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva knew the supremacy of Krishna, but still he did not glorify that time.
Well, we can say that, it's Yogamaya of the Lord. He's also avatar of the Lord, and Narada, when he's also avatar of the Lord. Obviously, Vedavyasa is empowered to compile the Vedas and write the Brahma Sutras and write Mahabharata and Puranas, etc. But then he was a little dissatisfied, so we can say this is also part of Leela and Yogamaya.
This Narada is an eternal associate of the Lord, and we also see a lot of pastimes, like he's being a son of a Shudrani, or in the Gandharva Loka he had some pastime before. But eternal associate at the same time going through all this.
Yeah, so that again is pastime only. Because we see that he first came out of the as a son of Brahma. But then again, even then he isn't born in one sense, because he's eternally in the spiritual world. As a Shaktivesh avatars have eternal spiritual bodies, so it's only a pastime to appear as the son of Brahma. Then later on he became the son of a Sudra or whatever like that. So again, pastime only.
Some online question is, same Vyasadeva compiled the Shastras, and surprising to find in different Puranas, different demigods are considered supreme. Won't these confuse the people, as they are already confused with so many other things?
Yeah. So this is something like, we have Karmakanda section of the Vedas for people who are less qualified. So similarly, Vedavyas wrote Puranas for people in Tamagun, for people in Rajagun, and for people in Sattvagun. So he glorifies Shiva in Tamagun Puranas for the Tamagun people. So they should worship Shiva because Shiva's in charge of Tamagun, and they'll be more attracted to him than others. So he worships, he encourages that worship, and he glorifies Shiva as supreme there to give them faith. So this is one strategy to engage people according to their gunas. But Narada Muni says this is not going to work in Kali Yuga. Because in Kali Yuga people are too short-lived, unintelligent, materially attached, etc. So if they're going to worship Shiva, they will worship Shiva, but they won't progress beyond that and gradually rise to the gunas. They're too lazy to change into another process, and they'll get attached to the material results that they get from Shiva only. So therefore, this process won't really work of gradually elevating them through the gunas. So instead, then he said, recommends everybody worship Krishna.
Maharaj, in Bhaktirathamrita Sindhu, Uttama Bhakti is said to be covered when performing karma without faith, or that it gives bhakti. But in King Bharata's case, he performed with faith and his bhakti increased daily. How to reconcile?
Who performed?
Bharata Maharaj.
Oh, yeah. No, so if it becomes covered, bhakti becomes covered if we do karmas or jnana or yoga, anything, with attachment to the goals of those processes. In other words, karma with attachment to better material enjoyment, or jnana for impersonal liberation. That's one covering which is it's not a good thing. It covers it or obstructs it. So we shouldn't obstruct bhakti in that way. Or the other is to think that if we don't do the activity, then we lose. Or we commit sin, so we have to do these activities. So the conviction of a devotee is that by worshipping Krishna, everything is fulfilled and it satisfies everything. So that's the conviction of a devotee with faith in pure bhakti. So if we don't have that faith, then we'll think, well, I do have to do this, 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 and this also in order to make my bhakti successful. So that dependence on other things becomes an obstacle for pure bhakti, and therefore don't do it. So if Bharat or someone does it with faith, he does it with the proper faith, understanding that anything obstructive in that is eliminated, no material desires, and the devatas are worshipped, but worship with the idea that they are servants of the Lord. And that, the other idea, of course, is that he is doing these activities, but ultimately not attached to them. So therefore he can give them up. So Bharat gave them up eventually when he was time and finished with them. So he's not obligated to do them. So he gave up the horse sacrifices and all these other activities later on. And then he practiced vanaprastha later on and whatever like that. And then finally in one lifetime, two lifetimes later, he became Paramahamsa and he didn't do anything within the Varnashram system.
Guru Maharaj, we see that advanced devotees at some point of time become Bhajananandis rather than being Goshyanandis. So what do you think the role of this type of practicing devotional service in Raghavanuga Bhakti?
The what?
They become Bhajananandis, become aloof and start doing their sadhana. Some of the acharyas, when they advance, the devotees, when they advance in Krishna Prema, they become Bhajananandis, they isolate themselves. Then what is the role of Goshyanandi? They say that is more important to have Krishna Prema.
Well, a lot of us according to time and place, and of course particular individuals. So there are acharyas, you could say, are Bhajanandis. They were also preaching because the Goswamis wrote scriptures and works, etc. That's their preaching. So in this way, they are not strictly just interested in their own advancement or whatever, so they write works for the guidance of people, so that's how they preach. Nevertheless, as one advances into prema, etc., one becomes more disinterested in the material world, and in the prema stage, one doesn't really distinguish between devotee and non-devotee, so that impetus to save the fallen souls doesn't really operate anymore because he's only absorbed in Krishna Leela all the time. So it's just a natural result of prema in most cases. But then in some cases we find, like Narada Muni on the highest level, he is interested in preaching also. So therefore we'll find exceptional cases in prema where they're also preaching.